This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 248, where CJ is going to run through some of the latest cloud news, recorded live April 22nd, 2018. Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, workflows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC. Good morning, everybody. You're just stuck with solo CJ today. AC is out. He's a little busy. And so I'm running solo. Today, we've got some interesting news and announcements. It's going to be a quick show, so we're not going to dive too deep on any particular topic, but this is really just kind of to keep you up to date with some of the latest goings on in the Microsoft Cloud world. Make sure you don't fall too far behind. And then we'll be back to regular programming next week with AC and I back in the saddle with an exciting guest, I believe. So look forward to that one shaping up. I hope you got a kick out of me testing AC last week about his Kiwi slang and sayings. So if you want to laugh at him, feel free to poke some fun at him on or me, of course, as always, on the Twitters. But yeah, hope you got a kick out of that one. But today, I mentioned that we're going to cover some news and announcements. We've got some interesting Azure news, and we've got some interesting things with Office coming up, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's get into some Azure news. There was big news this last week with a blog post on April 16th by Brad Smith, who's basically the head of legal at Microsoft. He's the chief legal officer. I don't know if you've ever seen Brad Smith speak before at a conference, for example. He's fascinating to listen to. He's actually one of those sort of people that you think his speeches about his topics and his conversations are going to be kind of a bit drab, right? He's a legal guy, right? How exciting can it be? But obviously, given the current state of world affairs, especially as it comes to cloud security and so forth, he is often totally on point. And for a chief legal officer, boy, oh boy, does he keep things nice and interesting and really, really relevant to his audience that he's speaking to. So he's actually quite exciting and quite interesting to listen to in person or streamed from various Microsoft conferences. I guess we'll hear from him perhaps at Build. I'm not sure if we'll see him at Build speaking to developers, but definitely at Microsoft Ignite later this year. Anyway, so he's come out with a blog post on April 16th entitled Using Intelligence to Advance Security from the Edge to the Cloud. And one of the big announcements that they make in this, they're talking about the RSA conference, which is in San Francisco. They made some announcements. And in particular, one that really sort of blew my mind was this new product from Microsoft called Azure Sphere, as in S-P-H-E-R-E, extending security to the Internet of Things. And honestly, this caught everybody, at least that I've spoken to, mostly by surprise. And the reason for this is it's really it's sort of a threefold offering product. First, it's chips and hardware. So the acronyms that they use when they talk about this stuff are MCUs, which are microcontroller units. These are basically like super low power, not very powerful chips that can be shipped relatively cheaply for devices and other stuff like that. So they obviously want to put these in all sorts of devices and various things that everything from, I guess we'll see them in our fridges and our toasters through to our washing machines and all of those sorts of things. Like I said, pretty low power. But anyway, Microsoft has come out with an entirely new class of MCUs with more than five times the power of legacy MCUs. And they're going to license the intellectual property or the design for these chips royalty-free to people that want to make them. so that people can build and make these chips nice and cheaply without sort of being beholden financially to Microsoft, so to speak. And they've already talked about a partner who's already making these things. So the first part of this announcement is around these MCUs or these chips. Now, the second part of the announcement is really what blew everybody's mind. And that is that with these new chips, they're going to be shipping a new customized operating system built for the Internet of Things and security in mind. Now, you might think, what's so special about that? But check this out. It is built on or customized from, and it's a distribution of Linux. I know, right? Like that in and of itself, can you honestly say, even 2 years ago, maybe three, maybe definitely, you know, the last one, perhaps this has been a reality, but definitely even 2 years ago, if you'd given me $100 or bet me $100 and said Microsoft will be shipping a Linux operating system, I would have thought you're absolutely crazy, especially given previous leadership at Microsoft, like Steve Ballmer, calling open source software like a cancer or a, yeah, I think those were his words exactly. But anyway, it was kind of, it was very much poo-pooed at the time. And he kind of got laughed at for saying a few of these things. But anyway, Microsoft are now shipping, or going to be shipping, this custom Linux distribution for these devices. And I am imagining, or they're saying, at least in the press releases and the press that we've seen so far, that it's mostly going to be very targeted at this Internet of Things scenario. You know, you're not going to be putting their distribution of Linux on your desktop and replacing Windows with it. Let's put it that way. Or Mac OS or whatever you happen to use today, or even, you know, Ubuntu or any of those others, right? This is going to be very tailored at Internet of Things devices. And they're basically saying that they've managed to bring a bunch of the security things that they've learned or pioneered in Windows to create really secure software that runs on these chips. Now, I can imagine if you went and talked to sort of the Linux bigots of the world, they would laugh their heads off saying about security innovations in Windows. But a lot of that, I think, is misjudged, and Microsoft have made significant improvements and have really led the way in a number of areas around security in Windows and operating systems, I should say, in general, over the last few years. And I think there are a number of security experts now that, you know, they take Microsoft seriously when it comes to security, not like, you know, a decade ago, for example. So I guess Microsoft has lots to share and things that they've learned around securing the most popular operating system in the world. And they want to bring that some of that stuff to the Internet of Things. And then specifically these devices that will be shipping with these MCUs based off their designs. I guess there's a couple of things to think about here, right? Microsoft has a vested interest on being a part of this wave of devices and things that are connected to the internet and part of the cloud. So they want to play in this space. Windows is not suited to this particularly well today. Even this most stripped down version of Windows that you can get that runs on a Raspberry Pi is still considered super powerful in comparison to these MCUs. And so is not particularly well suited. And so I think that's why they've gone with the Linux approach, at least certainly partly it probably is. We'll have to get somebody on the show perhaps to talk more about it. But I guess the other thing is there are a lot of tools and things like drivers for various other chips and other bits and pieces that go into these devices. And so perhaps shipping a Linux distro was easier to build custom software for that manufacturers would build to do all the integration work that's needed. So perhaps that's had something to do with it. Anyway, we'll definitely try and get somebody to talk on the show about Azure Sphere, because from my point of view, it is a very interesting kind of direction that Microsoft are going here, and actually quite exciting, and I think it'll be really interesting to watch. Okay, so first thing was the MCUs, the chip designs, and the IP that goes along with that. The second thing was about the Linux distribution that goes along with these things, which, you know, I'm still kind of blown away that I'm saying Linux distribution from Microsoft all in the same sentence. But hey, crazier things have happened, or have they? I don't know. You be the judge. Anyway, so the third thing, I promised three, was that, of course, there's going to be a tie-in to cloud services. And so, and I'm quoting here, they say, finally, Azure Sphere will feature a turnkey cloud security service that guards every Azure Sphere device, including the ability to update and upgrade the security protection for a 10-year lifetime of the device. So the idea here is that Microsoft's going to design these, has got these chip designs, and they've got the operating system that goes along with it. And they're basically saying, hey, if you want to go in on this, then we're going to have a set of services that help you run these devices when they're out there in the real world. And it also says, importantly, Azure Sphere will work alongside any cloud, private or proprietary, so that customers can continue to use their existing data infrastructure while adopting Azure Sphere's groundbreaking security for their devices. So I guess there's a lot more, you know, kind of detail to come on this. And it'll be really interesting to see, A, whether it gets adopted and picked up, B, what the stuff looks like how do we get our hands on it and start playing around with this stuff, and also see how, the letter C, see how things go for these guys as well. So, yeah, I guess stay tuned to see if it's it takes off. But, you know, it looks pretty compelling, honestly, from the blog post. But who really knows? If we have anybody listening who's in the business of building devices like washing machines and fridges and toasters and kettles and all those kinds of stuff that is looking into areas like IoT and things, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear whether something like this would be interesting to you. Okay, so that is Azure Sphere. I guess we'll be hearing more about it at Build. Build conference is coming up in May very soon. So we will see if there's more news and announcements about that. Maybe they'll start giving all the attendees chips to go start building stuff. We will see. Although, you know, recent builds have not been great in terms of hardware giveaways. So we'll see if Microsoft are up for it again. Okay, so that's Azure Sphere. Okay, on to some interesting statistics. Jeffrey Snover, who is a technical fellow at Microsoft and chief architect for Azure Infrastructure and Management, Azure Stack Architect and PowerShell Architect. Like, this guy's into a bunch of stuff. Anyway, he tweeted this week a slide from the RSA conference 2018, which I mentioned just before. And it just had some really interesting numbers about security and accounts at Microsoft. And I thought I'd share some of these statistics. We'll link to this tweet off in the show notes so you can go check it out. But needless to say, it is fascinating. So, for example, demonstrating Microsoft's leadership in cloud security scale, here are some daily numbers for you. 500 million. That is the number of active Microsoft accounts, or users, I should say. 500 million, half a billion people with Microsoft accounts. That's pretty sizable. Okay, the next one. 18 billion with a B, Microsoft account authentications. These are daily numbers, okay? So 500 million daily active users, 18 billion daily authentications. Next one, 30 million geo-login anomaly attacks detected. So this is, again, daily. 30 million geo-login anomaly attacks. So I don't know if you know, but when you go to log in using your Microsoft account, if some weird stuff has happened, like first you've logged in from Seattle and then, you know, 1 second later or a minute later, you've logged in from Johannesburg in South Africa, Microsoft may be able to detect, using a number of measures, but may be able to detect that doesn't seem quite right and block various sign-ins based on what is reasonable or they've deemed unreasonable in this case, I guess. And so basically here they're saying that they've dumped 30 million of those every day, which is pretty decent. So interesting way to help protect your accounts there. Okay, another number, 1.5 million number of compromise attempts deflected. Another one, 77 million threats detected on devices. I'm not sure what they mean by that, but the number's big, so it's got to be impressive, right? I don't know what that means. But anyway, we will link to this slide off in the show notes. Again, Jeffrey Snover is definitely somebody you should be following on Twitter if you're not already and are interested in cloud and security and Azure infrastructure and things. Definitely check out Jeffrey Snover on Twitter. Okay, speaking of Azure and identity and all these sorts of things, Microsoft continue to try and make their Azure AD sign-in experience better. Now, if you're like me, I see Azure sign-in screens or Azure AD sign-in screens pretty much all day, every day. And there's a couple of things that have really bugged me about them in the past, but Microsoft are continuing to try and make those better. And Alex Simons from the Azure AD team came out on April the 4th with a blog post called Upcoming Improvements to the Azure AD Sign-In Experience. Okay, so the idea here is that they're continuing with visual design updates to the sign-in experience that kind of makes the sign-in experience a little better, right, and makes it more obvious. So they've detailed some redesign of various sign-in screens that they've showed a few months ago, but now they've sort of taken the next set of steps to make things a little simpler. And they've got some screenshots so you can see the existing UI and what it looks like, and then what the updated UI and what it looks like. And honestly, the functionality is kind of the same, except it helps improve clarity of what's happening at each step along the way, including multi-factor auth scenarios and your change password screens as well. So like I said, I think it's a step in the right direction, trying to make things a bit more streamlined and less confusing. If you're like me and you use multiple accounts, your life is still going to be a bit of a nightmare. But they've got a little bit better with that recently when they've made picking an account that you're already signed into quite a bit easier. But, you know, if you've got users in your organization who are used to seeing screens and they change, that can be a little disconcerting. So you'll want to give them the heads up, obviously, if you don't use your own sign-in system like ADFS or what have you. If you're just using the Azure AD sign-in experience, things will change a little bit. But they talk about a timeline here. So in early May, they're going to do a notification banner on the existing sign-in page, which is going to start preparing people about the upcoming change. And then in mid-May, they're going to give a link to the preview of the new UI, which means you'll be able to go and take a look at what it's going to look like. And then in mid-June, so again, a month after that, they're going to update the sign-in UI, and it'll be rolled out gradually across all users. Along with that, they've got a new notification kind of system or banner that they're going to show up in the bottom right of the sign-in experience to help people. Again, this won't affect you if you use something like ADFS or some other sort of federated sign-in system like that. This is only if you use the native Azure Active Directory sign-in experience for getting into Office 365. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. All right, so that's some Azure news and bits and pieces. We've covered Azure Sphere, obviously fantastic and interesting announcement there around IoT. Some stuff around identity and scale from Jeffrey Snover, the new sign-in experience and things for Azure AD that are coming in mid-June, so get ready for those. But now let's move on a little bit into some more Office-y and Office 365 kind of stuff. So the first thing, and this is close to home with the podcast because AC is really heavily involved in this, is a new Microsoft Graph Community Samples and Tutorials GitHub repo. So again, we'll link to this in the show notes, but it's called the MS Graph-Community-Samples repo. And up there, you will find all sorts of samples and tutorials for using the Microsoft Graph. So this could be from, you know, doing it from C#, from Java, from JavaScript, obviously, Objective-C for iOS, Python, Ruby, UWP apps on Windows, Xamarin, all sorts of stuff. And in some cases, these are links off to some other spots. But the idea here, and maybe we'll get AC to talk about this very briefly in another show, but here it's basically, you know, the idea is that it's the one-stop shop for if you want to find out how to do something with the graph in whatever particular language, then chances are there's a sample or a tutorial on how to do that already. And so this GitHub repo is the place to go find that, to find those, I should say. Now, they're taking contributions. So a lot of these examples they say here are from the Microsoft teams themselves, but they also say, we do also welcome community contributions. So if you have particular samples that add to the value that you want to share with the rest of the Microsoft Graph community, they've got some contributor guidance or contribution guidance that you should, that you need to follow about getting stuff into this MS Graph community samples. They also give some examples here about, some guidance here on if you've got questions and issues about the Microsoft Graph, how to get in touch through things like the Microsoft Graph on Stack Exchange or Stack Overflow is a great way to get, where you do Q&A type stuff. But they also say, hey, go log issues in the Microsoft, in the GitHub issues list if you have issues with the samples, for example, like that, for example, and want to get those addressed. So, and they've also got links off to here to the Microsoft Graph documentation. But this is a really nice initiative, and AC's been working on this quite a bit. So we'll need to have him chat about how it all came to be and kind of the ongoing side of this. But great to see them all in one place, because it is really hard to find stuff when it's spread out, you know, far and wide. So really nice to see these all in one spot. Okay, not so developer-y, but definitely Office-related. There's a new podcast from Microsoft, and it's called The Intrazone. This is a new podcast by, I believe the two hosts are Chris McNulty from Microsoft, from the SharePoint team, and Mark Cashman from the SharePoint team. Two great guys, been in the community a really long time. Mark and I worked together when I was at Microsoft. But they're going to talk about all the current news in SharePoint, common FAQs that they've heard from users and partners, best practices, highlighted apps. They're also going to have special guests and things on the show as well. So we always like to hear about new, interesting podcasts that come around. And this one looks really good. They're going to have guests on it as well. So episode one, which is called Building Blocks of Your Intelligent Intranet, has Matt Wade and Laura Rogers as guests on, I believe. And I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, so you'll have to excuse me if I'm getting this a little wrong, but this will definitely be one to follow. I suspect this is really going to heat up this year as we get closer to SPC with all the news and announcements and things, and the Intrazone is definitely going to be something to look at here. The name, and I haven't spoken to Mark and I haven't spoken to Chris, so I'm not 100% sure about this or even 50% sure about this, but the Intrazone is kind of interesting, right? It implies... it's talking about intranets and kind of inside and things like that. So I suspect we'll hear a lot about intranets and content management in particular as we move forward as it relates to SharePoint and Office 365. So that will definitely be one to keep an eye out for. The address for that is intrazone.libsyn.com, LIBSYN.com, Libsyn, Intrazone. But again, yeah, we'll have the link to this guy in the show notes. Okay, moving right along, but still sort of SharePoint related. There seems to be a new error page up in Office 365, and we'll link to an example of this, but we were alerted to this on the Twitters, so to speak, and Microsoft seemed to be getting on the bandwagon of more interesting error pages than the your typical something went wrong correlation ID ones. Don't worry. Nobody panic. Correlation IDs are still here to stay. However, now there's a cat on the page. So we can all rest easy that Microsoft now understands the imperative importance of having cooler error pages and interesting cats, which, I'm not sure whether I should be happy or sad about the effort that went into this page. However, it's something, isn't it? Okay, now, if you're a developer and doing anything with Office 365 or Microsoft Graph or all of those kinds of things. A few years ago, I started with some other folks, I started a Slack network called the Office 365 Dev Slack Network. And it's sort of just been sitting there going nowhere and doing nothing. But I sort of do a shout out to it, because if you're interested in talking about Office 365 development, the Microsoft Graph and all that sort of stuff, or SharePoint, SPFX, things like that, then this Slack network might be somewhere to give it a shot. I would love to get this thing off the ground again. And the reason being is I've been doing a lot of work with Kubernetes recently, and Kubernetes has a really vibrant and active Slack network. It's not a place that you go to publish information. It's not a new encyclopedia of samples like the GitHub we just spoke about. It's not a new place that Microsoft are going to go blog about things or what have you, right? But it is a good, Slack is a good medium for discussing things and talking amongst ourselves as developers or as Office 365 passionate people. And so I don't really know if this is going to fly long term, but I thought I'd give it a crack. And so if you're interested in Office 365 development, you want to talk to other developers, just want to get simple answers for things, or hey, how are you tackling this particular stuff? If it's not sort of a typical question that you'd ask on Stack Overflow or in a place like that, or it's not an issue or a bug, which should go to somewhere like on GitHub issues lists, for example, you just want to talk to people about a particular topic, or hey, I'm seeing this particular kind of behavior, and is this normal? Am I doing it right? How should I approach this particular idea or topic I've got? Then the Slack network might be a place you want to chat with folks about. Now, you've got to sign up first. The way Slack works is you can't have anonymous Slack networks, as far as I know. So you've got to go to a sign-up page and an invite gets sent. And so the URL that you can do that is officedevslack.azurewebsites.net. That's a website that I've stood up which has a sign-up page. You can go get signed up there and come and join in the discussion. Now, I will give you a caveat that it's early days. It is not super active right now, but I'm trying to check it. There are a bunch of others that are in there looking at things as well. But we would love to get this thing off the ground and get people chatting and interacting with one another. And hey, it may go nowhere, but it may go somewhere. Never know. Okay, so that's the Office 365 Dev Slack. All right, finally, before I get on to my picks, unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know that SharePoint Conference North America is coming up towards the end of May. And there's been a few things happen recently that you should be aware of. So first up is the sessions have been posted. And also, more importantly, I guess, for planning purposes at least, the schedule has been posted. So you'll be able to go and start planning out what sessions you're going to go to and when. Now, the most important session of the day is happening at 1:15 p.m. every afternoon. And I guess this is maybe not so much of a surprise, or maybe you're not so surprised by this, but of course, this is when AC and I will be doing a live version of the Microsoft Cloud Show from the expo floor. There's going to be a podcasting center there. There's going to be some chairs and stuff for people to kick back and relax and laugh at us while we do a show. We're going to have really interesting guests covering all the keynote announcements, covering all the big stuff happening at the show, and other interesting things going on. And so you won't want to miss that. It's happening at 1:15 each afternoon over in the expo area, I believe is where the podcast center is going to be. We're going to send out, for everybody who's on our mailing list, we're going to send out an email with all of the pertinent information about how to attend and what you can expect from the shows. So you'll have all of that, and we'll give you a link to something you can stick in your calendar as well. But anyway, 1:15 each afternoon. In the downloadable PDF for the show that you can get from the website, there's a bunch of sessions and things, but at the end, there's also a summary of all the great podcasts that are going to be broadcasting from the show. And we're not alone. There's a bunch of others, I think four or five others perhaps, that are going to be at the show doing their thing. There's going to be lots of great content to go and listen to there. So try to find some time, go to sessions, obviously, go to lunch, and then come visit the podcast center and hear us if you're interested in that. Another announcement that got made just this last week, actually, is that there's going to be a performance. There's going to be a band at the show, and it's going to be the B-52s. So they will be performing at they're calling it the Burgers and Brews, with a special performance by the B-52s. So it's going to be a poolside party, they're calling it a SharePint party at the MGM. You get it with your conference pass. It's only for attendees, I think, and you can go rock out to the B-52s and watch everybody else do awkward dancing. It'll be pretty hilarious. I will be there, AC will be there, we'll probably be in our Cloud Show t-shirts, who knows. So come say hi if you hear or if you see us. Just run up and preferably bring beer. That'd be awesome. So yeah, the B-52s are playing at SPC. How cool is that? That'll be pretty entertaining. I think past SPCs that I've been to, we've had Huey Lewis play, Bon Jovi played, John Bon Jovi, I should say, he played. So it's great. They've got a band coming, and it should make for a really fun party by the pool at the MGM Grand. If you're not, or if you're sitting on the fence about the show, it's not too late. You can go register. There's passes still available. I believe it's May 21st or 20th. Yeah, I think it's 21st that the show is on in Vegas. It's going to be a pretty great show, I think. There's going to be a bunch of news and announcements. Lots of SharePoint people there, obviously. Lots of people to hang out with and shoot the breeze and network with and socialize with and get a ton of great content. So if you're fence-sitting about the show, it's shaping up to be really good for the SharePoint community, which is honestly quite exciting. I've helped work on SPCs, gone by, run a couple of them, done all the content planning for a couple of them, been really involved in them. And so they're really near and dear to my heart, honestly. And I'm really pleased to see this shaping up. I hope it really goes well and it rocks for the team. So yeah. Also, there's a YouTube video out about SPC from our very own Andrew Connell. And so we'll link to that in the show notes, but you can go listen to AAC talk about what he's going to be doing at SharePoint Conference, including his workshop that he's running and a couple of sessions that he's got on and stuff like that. And there's also somewhere up, there's one of me as well, but you don't want to bother with that one. Anyway, go check out AC on the YouTube video. So lots of good news about Microsoft Graph GitHub community repo for the samples and tutorials. New podcast, The IntraZone. If you're into new great content, definitely go check that one out for SharePoint-related content. We've got new CAT error pages, the Office 365 Dev Slack channel, and of course some new interesting updates about SharePoint Conference North America. All right, I think it's time to move on. CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users in organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
Okay, it's that time of the show. Picks. I have one pick today. It's not a geeky gadget. It's not about space. It's about Windows, strangely enough. And in particular, Windows 8. And there was a tweet stream, I guess you want to call it, a tweet conversation, a tweet thread. There we go. A tweet thread from Jensen Harris, who's an old Microsoftie. He's left now. He's the CTO and co-founder of Text.io, text.io.com. And anyway, he worked on Windows for a long time. He's one of the guys that brought us the ribbon in Office. So you may love him or hate him for that. I'm not sure. I'm okay with the ribbon. Some people aren't. But anyway, Jensen Harris tweeted about an interesting kind of thing that they did with Windows 8 that I never realized. And basically how the thread goes is it talks about the pre-release builds of Windows 8. If you've ever watched how Windows comes out, they do these pre-release builds for internal use at Microsoft. And usually they leak and they get stuck on torrents and all that sort of stuff and sent out, and they're not really that private. Anyway, so they decided, this thread details how they decided to have a bit of fun with the wallpapers that shipped with those pre-release builds so that when they leaked, they'd see what happened. Anyway, so they started with some pretty boring wallpaper that's, you know, sort of got a bunch of legalese on it and things. But anyway, they talk about how they sort of decided to have a bit of fun with it, and they started including a puzzle on the wallpaper. And with each build, the puzzles got, you know, slowly filled out, right? So it got a little easier and a little easier. And then they also had some fun with some of the pixels on the screen to sort of scramble things up and make it look like they were embedding some sort of traceable security code to track the leakers. But anyway, that was just them messing with the pirates, and it really didn't mean anything. But anyway, the puzzle was pretty interesting, and apparently, to this day, there's only been one person that at least Jensen has heard of that has solved the puzzle. And I think he said it was somebody from Ireland who managed, I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, I'm not sure where they said they were from, actually. Anywho, apparently there's only been this one person that has solved this puzzle to this day that he's heard of. Anyway, so he posts all of the screenshots of the puzzle as it goes along, and it's pretty cool. I just thought it was a really interesting factoid about how they've built Windows, and had a bit of a joke along with trying to freak out pirates about their security aspects that they're adding to Windows to try and track them down and mess with them along the way. Anyway, if you know what the answer to this puzzle is, definitely get in touch. We can chat about it. But I haven't solved it. I just started to have a look at it and see what it might be about, but I haven't really worked much on it. But kind of interesting factoid about Windows, and I'm not sure if they do this anymore or what the deal is with it moving forward, but I just thought it was kind of a cool thing that they did with Windows. Anyway, so that's my pick for this show. So, well, I'm going to wrap things up. I've been waffling on for quite a while now. Like I said, we'll be back to our normal programming next week with AC back on the show. We've got some interesting shows with some interviews and other bits and pieces coming up over the next wee while. We're going to get in touch with everybody about what we're doing at SharePoint Conference that's coming up real soon. We'd love to have as many Cloud Show listeners at the show, obviously, and come to one of the live shows and have a bit of a laugh with us. We're going to be taking lots of t-shirts, so I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that. I don't know. Anyway, come and get a t-shirt from us. We'll have lots of t-shirts with us at the show, so be sure to come and pick up one of those. We'd love to give you one. But for now, that's all for this week. Hope you had a great time. Lots of news and announcements in the Azure and Office world, and we'll see you next week. Cheers. Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.